that we are able to meet anyway, and that we can still celebrate what is the true meaning of Christmas. What is the true meaning of Christmas? We get these conflicting ideas, don't we? If you watch any of these cheesy Christmas movies that are doing the rounds at the moment, you get the impression the true meaning of Christmas is being with family. And that's okay, but it's not the true meaning of Christmas. If you look at the advertising and the media, you get the idea that the true meaning of Christmas is spending all your hard-earned money on stuff that you won't even remember you bought next year. That's not the true meaning of Christmas. And neither is it about the decorations and the trees and the everything else. The true meaning of Christmas is this: God with us. By the way, sorry, Janine has got something prepared for the kids. If you want to go and sit and get and do something cool for Christmas, you're welcome to go and do that. I'm going to be talking for a very long time, a very long time. So if someone, the grown-ups, also want to go and do some crafts, I will understand. You're welcome to go. Go for it, Ian. Cool. Okay. Anyone else who wants to go join? Enjoy it. So this name, as everything has kind of been pointing you to this morning, this name Emmanuel means God with us. And we first get given this name some 500 years before Jesus is even born. In Isaiah chapter 7, we get this prophecy of the Messiah that would come, and the Bible says this: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we don't even need someone to translate that for us. In the New Testament, when this prophecy is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, we get the translation where Matthew tells us this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that's all I want to speak about, is these three words: God with us. And we'll start with that God. Who is this God who is now with us? Who is he? Not long ago, we were sort of flipping channels and stumbled across the old Superman, the original Superman movie. Do you remember that one with Christopher Reeves? And way before CGI and everything made things look real. But my kids were at the age where they thought everything was amazing. So if maybe you've forgotten this part of the movie, but there's a part where there's an earthquake happening, and Superman flies into the crevice, forgetting the kind of molten lava all around him, and just with the strength of his arm, closes the gap. It's pretty insane. Never shows you how he actually got out after that, but my kids were sitting and watching this going, "Whoa, that's amazing." And then because Lois Lane somewhere gets killed in the process, he has to turn back time, so he flies around the planet so fast that the Earth spins the wrong way for a little while, rewinding time so that he can go and save Lois Lane. Anyone else remember these things? Yeah, it's really cool. A little bit cheesy, but really cool. But my kids were spellbound, like, "Whoa, can anyone really do that?" But our God is so much better. Our God is able to do, the Bible tells us, abundantly more than you can even ask or imagine. Abundantly more than you can even ask or imagine. That is a lot. This almighty creator. He is self-sustaining. He needs nothing. He is self-existent. He has always been. He puts the heavens and the earth in place, not even by the strength of his arm, not even by his efforts, by just his very word. He speaks these things into being. And so the Bible gives us this amazing title in the Gospel of John. The writer, John, calls Jesus the Word. And I remember a pastor listening to a sermon about this exact passage, rather, and he said this: maybe that's all God really wanted to say to us. Jesus is the Word. And in John chapter 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I really enjoyed that last song. That first verse just speaks about how the light comes and destroys the darkness. So this Word creates everything. and in him is all life. And that it's not as if God created everything, then stepped back and has taken a holiday ever since. What we understand is that God is still continually creating life, continually creating life. We had the most incredible experience as a family a little while ago. We went down camping down the south coast, and one of our activities was an evening walk on the beach. And as we were walking along, shining the torches, we saw what looked like a little rock on the beach, but then it was moving up the beach. And as we got closer, it was a turtle that was actually climbing up onto the beach. And we spent the next hour and a half or so watching this turtle dig a hole, lay probably 100-something eggs, cover the eggs, and then move back into the sea. It was the most extraordinary thing and an absolute miracle of timing. If we had come an hour earlier or an hour later, we wouldn't have seen it. But God is so intimately and intricately involved in life still today that every single one of those eggs that is fertilized is by the hand of God. Every single time a baby is born, it is God who gives them their first breath. Every single breath that you take, God is still involved. He's not like a clockmaker God who just put everything in motion and stepped back and let it run itself. God is still involved all the time. The Word, God. But the Word was not satisfied. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christmas story, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Very literally, God became one of us and pitched his tent in our camp, is what it's saying. He humbled himself to become a part of creation. We can't even wrap our heads around the humiliation involved in this process. Almighty Creator becomes creation. He comes as a baby, weak, lowly, completely dependent on his mother, and has the full human experience. We're told that God, in order for this to happen, he had to empty himself of certain things. So he empties himself of his omniscience, his ability to know everything all the time. That little baby Jesus did not know everything. He had to learn how these things worked. He had to learn to speak and eat and walk. He emptied himself of his omnipotence. He was not able to do everything. He emptied himself of his omnipresence in that moment. He could not be everywhere at once. But yet in doing so, he remained truly God, while being truly man. And in doing this, he brings God with us on a whole nother level. There's this wonderful song, I think it's sung by Bette Midler. Remember that song, God is watching us? God is watching us from a distance. Lovely song, terrible theology. God is not watching us from a distance. God is with us, right here with us. And it's true that God has always been with us in the sense that God has always seen everything that's happened. There's never been anything that happened behind his back. Secret, the Bible tells us, David says this, there's no way I could hide from you, from your vision. You always see everything that happens. He has always been with us, but in Christ he is with us so much more deeply that he is able to say to us, I know what it's like. I can sympathize with you. We didn't sing it this morning, but there's another verse to that song, O Holy Night, which speaks about his incarnation. It says, he knows your need. To your weakness is no stranger. He knows. He gets it. He's been there, and he's still here with us. Us. Why us? What is so special about us? Well, the Bible simply says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loves us that he would do all of this. God has always had this romantic desire for unity with his people. And he repeats it throughout the scriptures that there will be a time when I will be your God and you will be my people, and there'll be nothing in between us. There'll be no barriers, no sin, no separation. God so loved us that he made a plan to invade our realities, to feel our suffering, to bring us hope and salvation. Us who are lost in our sin and selfishness. Us who are practicing idolatry and wickedness. Us who are doomed to hell without him. He brings a gift of grace in the form of a baby, the incarnation. God become man, God with us. And more to the point this morning, God with me. God with me. Me in my mess, in my brokenness. Me in my clumsy efforts to try to please him. Me in my absolute, utter confusion. God is with me. And today I feel him with me. Today I feel him with me. And I warned you, those of you listening to the Breakfast Bite, when my wife sings "Oh Holy Night," I go into ugly cry and I feel God with me. Right? I do. I love it. And being in God's people, I feel God with me. But even when I don't, on the dark days, God is with me. And even more to the point, he is with you. God is with you. Yes, you, sir. Even though you don't see it, even though you doubt it, even though you don't believe it, he's with you anyway, and he knows you intimately. He's with you, ma'am, even though you feel unworthy of his presence and his friendship in your life. He is with you. He knows you intimately, every detail of your being. And even what is unseen and unknown to anybody else, he knows you. He knows your weakness. He knows your physical limitations. This is the man, again, who had to learn how to walk and talk and eat, to relax, to work. This is the man who felt what we feel, who got exhausted. There's a story of Jesus after a long haul of ministry, going on a boat with his disciples, with his buddies, and setting out to sail. And there's a huge big storm, so much so that the disciples are worried the boat is going to sink. And where's Jesus? Sleeping. How tired do you have to be to sleep through a storm at sea? But he was truly human and felt and understands our weakness and your weakness as well. He knows your pain. He knows your pain. He's felt extreme pain as the soldiers whipped him, as they tore out his beard, as he bled and died the excruciating death for you. He knows your temptation. He knows that. He was, as Jan said earlier, tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin, showing us that temptation doesn't have to have the final say, defeating sin by living a sinless, perfect life, becoming a perfect sacrifice for us. So he was tempted by power. He was tempted by lust. He was tempted by greed, selfish gain, all of these things, but put them aside in his love for us. He knows your loneliness too. He knows what it's like to feel abandoned by those he loved. I think in that moment on the cross, when his friends walked away, and even in that moment when his holy heavenly Father had to turn his face away as Jesus became sin for us, as all of the sin of mankind was laid upon him in that moment, I don't believe anybody has ever been that lonely. He was left more alone and abandoned than anyone has ever been. He knows your anxiety too. He knows what it's like to be stressed out, Bible tells us on that night when he was betrayed, he prayed in the garden, and he prayed with such anxiety that he sweated great drops of blood, but still chose to be obedient to the Father. God gets you. There may be no one else on the planet that gets you. He gets you. And he is with you. He is with you in everything that you do. He's with you as you sleep. He's with you as you play. He's with you as you enjoy fellowship around the Christmas table this afternoon. He's with you as you clean up tomorrow morning. He's with you as you go off on your holidays. He's with you as you count your pennies after your holidays. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. And I'm so conscious of so many people this year for whom this is going to be a tough season, because they're not going to be with those they love, but he will be with you. His presence is with all of us. And this is the hope on which we ought to build our lives. See, there's two kinds of hopes. There's a kind of hope that some of you may have woken up with this morning. I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. Or I hope something else, I don't know. Maybe you're hoping what you want to get for lunch today. You're hoping that the rain holds out so that you can have your braai. But it's a hope that's built on like possibilities. It's kind of a gamble. It's not a given thing. But when we put our hope in Jesus Christ, it's hope on a firm foundation. And the Bible says this kind of hope is an anchor for your soul. It's an anchor. It's rested in something that is solid and concrete and true. God with us is truth. And even more than that, it is an increasingly true thing. It's not just true for a little while. It gains in truth. And here's what I mean by this. It is true that God is with us. It is true that God is with you. Whether you recognize him or not, he's with you. Whether you're following Jesus Christ or not, he's with you. He is with you, and you experience the blessings of God whether you acknowledge it or not. You wake up in the morning with fresh air in your lungs. God is with you. You see the smiles, or at least the friendly waves in 2020, of people. God is with you. You experience things like joy and satisfaction and rest. God is with you, whether you acknowledge it or not. But for those who recognize him as Lord and Savior, who put our faith in him, God is with us in an even deeper level. As Janine pointed out earlier, through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit for his children, those who love him as Lord and Savior and choose to serve him now, we experience God with us. And part of that is he just opens our eyes and he says, do you see how I'm with you? Do you see how I'm with you in the birds and the trees? Do you see how I'm with you in the sunrise and the sunset? But do you know that I'm with you? My spirit is within you. The very same spirit of Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead now lives in you. And he leads you in paths of righteousness. And he fills you with joy and hope and peace, regardless of what's going on around us. This is the greatest Christmas gift ever. God with us right in here. So in that sense, it is an increasingly true thing. But it is increasingly true in this as well, that one day we will be with him face to face. God with us. Where we'll know him, not just as creator up there somewhere, not just as Lord, someone to be worshipped, but face to face as friend. Where there are no more masks, there's no more social distancing, there's no more separation between us and our Maker. We live in perfect, heavenly relationship with him. The Bible says, we reign with him in glory. Folks, I don't know where you find yourself today. And I really hope that through the rest of this day, through the rest of this year, and even into next year, these three words ring with you. God with us. Stays in your heart, stays in your mind. God with us. And internalize that. God with me. So for those of you who are kind of vaguely aware of this creator guy, maybe someone's twisted your arm to come with them to church this morning because it's a tradition or something like that. I really want to challenge you. Do you believe that God is with you? Have you invited him to even a deeper part of your life? That you might know him and have an intimate friendship with him. For those of you who've already made that decision and he is Lord of your life, I pray that today you would just be so conscious of him and his goodness with you, to you, and his love for you, and his favor over you, God with us. Won't you stand as we close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done. And Jesus Christ, you're coming to be with us. And all that is accomplished in your incarnation. I pray today that the truth of these words, God with us, will just resonate and find deeper root in our hearts. I pray particularly, Lord God, for anyone here today who battles with doubt and anxiety and loneliness and depression, who struggles to believe that you care for us, who struggles to believe that you're there. Today they would know you deeply, know your presence with us. Lord, around our tables later on, as we share time together as families and as we celebrate our relationships with one another as well, may we acknowledge your presence even there. God, for families that are torn apart this year, that are separated, unable to meet, those who are sick and in hospital, and the families that can't even visit them there, God, may they know, even in the midst of hardship and trial, you are with them. Even more broadly, Lord God, as we look at our country and we look at the needs and the concerns and the hardship around us, open our eyes to see, Lord, that you are completely aware and already busy at work ministering to those in need. Help us to become a part of that, to proclaim to the world, God is with you. May you be glorified, Jesus Christ, in and through us today, we pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's close off.